Department of Human Services. Mr. Andry.
May it please the court, Mr. Brooks. My client was a nurse at a state facility that, if we look at page 8 of our brief, prior to her supervision by Mary Zukowski, she was allowed under Chicago Reed's policy to take a month off for sick leave by just notifying her supervisor without explaining the nature of her medical condition.
Could I forgive me, Mr. Andry, sure. But what relief are you seeking? She didn't suffer any monetary damage.
No, she did not suffer any monetary damage. What they did was, for the very period that we're talking about here, the month when she was ill and she was calling in and trying to have applied this policy that Chicago Reed normally allowed, instead of accepting that policy, her new supervisor, Mary Zukowski, applied what they call UAs, or said that these were unauthorized absences. That remains on her record even to this day, even though it's been established that she was entitled to take those days and they were not unauthorized absences.
What, so, in other words, if they erase that from the record, that's the relief?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact,
that's all you want. It's like
that's what we were asking for. And the reason she was asking for it, because it was phenomenal to me that this couldn't be agreed upon, and also, frankly, to the other attorney on the trial level, but the agency took the view that they simply couldn't remove this from her record, even though it was wrongly put there.
Now, does she still work for the department?
Yes, she does.
And does she still have problems with fibromyalgia?
Yes, she does.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as it stands right now, nobody's doing what they previously did. The union grieved it, and they agreed in the future they wouldn't do that. They agreed that they wouldn't use the absences that were still on the record to discipline her. The problem is they wouldn't agree to get it off the record. So, if she applies somewhere else and somebody says, well, what's her attendance record like? You know, they still are entitled to report. Well, she has some UAs, you know. We don't know what happened here, but they're UAs. It's not disciplinary. They've agreed not to discipline her as a result of them, but they haven't agreed not to tell other employers or anybody else whether or not she has these things. So my time is very brief, so I'd like to reserve the balance for rebuttal if I could.
Thank you, Mr. Andry. Mr. Burks.
Thank you. My name is Paul Burks. I represent the Illinois Department of Human Services and its employee, Mary Zukowski. There are three claims before the court right now, discrimination claim, an FMLA claim, and a defamation, a state law defamation claim. I think that there having been no questions from the panel earlier, I'll just hit some of the highlights of what we think to be the legally dispositive issues on each claim in the brief time that I have. On the discrimination claim, I'll leave aside the adverse employment action for a moment, which the district court discussed at great length, and just talk about whether or not discrimination was proven, either as a direct or as a matter of the McDonnell-Douglas burden-shifting process. And under McDonnell-Douglas, there were no comparable employees. There was no evidence of a pretext that was presented. So we can't have a discrimination claim, even if we leave aside the reasoning of the district court, which is fairly persuasive, and as opposing counsel has conceded, there was no monetary harm. There was no objective injury to the plaintiff. There was a subjective feeling of being wrong by having these included in her employment record.
Is it true she had a spotless attendance record prior to the absences in July?
We don't dispute that point. We don't dispute that fact.
So why can't you just erase it?
Your Honor, we attended a Rule 33 mediation, which we're not allowed to discuss happened there.
It just kills me.
For what it's worth, I do think that counsel has misrepresented what his demands were through the course of this case. Certainly, this is the kind of case that I believe cries out for a resolution. Unfortunately, it wasn't resolved and is here before you now.
What's the ordinary consequence of 24 unexcused absences?
Discharge. 10 unauthorized absences would normally result in a discharge. In this case, that didn't happen. In fact, she was granted, I think, 17 weeks of leave, which is 5 weeks, but more than what the FMLA requires. So I think that's dispositive of the FMLA claim. And going to the defamation claim, the district court found that the statements were outside the statute of limitations. There's been no argument that that was wrong. That argument has essentially been waived on appeal, and it's correct if you look at the state statute of limitations. It's a one-year statute. And I believe those would be the three core issues for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Andrew, how much time does he have? 3 minutes? Yeah.
Well, counsel wasn't privy to conversations that we had, and the counsel is correct. It's not really the gist for this meal for us to argue about what actually took place as far as what would have settled the case. And I think all of us as lawyers know you make demands for your clients, you make settlement that your clients sometimes have to accept whether they like it or not. But the point was that this was a situation where there was a concession that that period of time where she was charged with the UAs, which were the month in July, between July and August, she followed the practice that was the policy of the agency and the policy of the facility. And one of the things that FMLA makes clear is that they encourage expansion and additions to the rights, not just the limitation of what the federal government gives you. In fact, there are separate rules for state employees in general, let alone for Chicago Reed employees.
But she received 17 weeks of unpaid leave. How can this be seen as an interference with her denial of leave under the FMLA?
Because what they did was, instead of looking at the first month, which should have been excused under state policy, not under FMLA, she never made a claim for FMLA until later on when they became more insistent that she somehow had to file forms for FMLA.
But what difference would it have made if the FMLA leave began in July or August instead of September? I mean, if it began earlier, she would have exhausted it that much sooner.
She applied, and she
and the absences following the FMLA leave would themselves have.
But that's not what they argued.
They didn't. Unexcused.
What they did was they lumped the FMLA leave along with the state allowed leave. The state allowed leave was the first leave that she was requesting, where they allow you the month off simply by calling in. So that was her argument, and that was where the UAs were placed. The UAs were placed on that first month. And so subsequently, she's losing rights to FMLA because they won't give her her rights under the state. And so therefore, she's being prejudiced in that regard. There are no further questions.
Okay.
We ask that the decision and that she be allowed to go to trial.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you to both counsel, and court will be in recess.